Esther chapter 2, verses 12 to 18. Now when every maid's turn was come to go into King Ahasuerus, after that she had been 12 months, according to the manner of the women, for so were the days of their purification accomplished, to wit 6 months with oil of myrrh, and 6 months with sweet odors, and with other things for the purifying of the women. Then thus came every maiden unto the king. Whatsoever she desired was given her to go with her out of the house of the women unto the king's house. In the evening she went, and on the morrow she returned into the second house of the women to the custody of, wish they'd write these in English, Sheshgaz or something like that, I guess, the king's chamberlain. Now I know how the Chileans used to feel when they would run across Dykster House. The custody of Sheshgaz, the king's chamberlain, which kept the concubines. She came in unto the king no more, except the king delighted in her, and that she were called by name. Now when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go in unto the king, she required nothing but what Hegai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. So Esther was taken unto King Ahasuerus into his house royal in the 10th month, which is the month Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Then the king made a great feast unto all his princes and his servants, even Esther's feast, and he made a release to the provinces and gave gifts according to the state of the king. I'd like to have us read along with this also just 2 verses in Romans chapter 13, verses 3 and 4, very familiar verses. Romans chapter 13, beginning with verse 3, "For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil." Father, we thank thee tonight for thy word, the Holy Scriptures. We pray that thou wouldst bless these portions to our hearts, that we might learn that which we need to know, that we might please thee in all that we do. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our topic tonight is gaining the praise of authority. I think one of the blessings that we receive as we do studies in the Word of God and as we search out the meanings of various words is the excitement of finding out where certain words are used and how they are used. And as we look into Romans chapter 13, we notice that Paul says regarding the authorities that are over us, the powers that be, that Paul says that he is the minister of God to thee for good. And the word minister there actually is the word deacon. I wouldn't suggest that you say to the next policeman that stops you to give a ticket, "Hi, deacon," but there might be an opportunity to witness to him and tell him that he is a minister of God, a minister of God to you for your good, even though at that moment you might not think so. But the word deacon has a wide variety of meanings, and this is one of the places where we find it, that God has placed over us these ministers or deacons, delegated authority by God for our good. And Paul says then in verse 3, "If you want praise from them, then do that which is good." That's the way we receive praise from those who are over us in authority, by doing that which is good. And it's important that we have the praise of those who are over us in authority. And the question comes then, well, what is the good that we are supposed to do? I think we have a general idea, but it's explained to us, I believe, in greater detail here in the life of Esther in the second chapter of the book. This was the outstanding testimony of Esther, that she did good and that she had the praise of those who were over her in authority. And we notice, first of all, referring back to the portion we dealt with previously in verse 9, we notice that the maiden pleased him. The man that was over the house of the women, the maiden pleased him, and she obtained kindness of him. In chapter 2 and verse 9, in chapter 2 and verse 15, we read that Esther obtained favor in the sight of all that looked upon her. And then in chapter 2 and verse 17, we read that the king loved Esther, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight. And so the question comes, how did Esther do this? How did she obtain kindness and favor and grace from all of these around her? What was it that they saw in her that caused them to praise her in this way? Well, I think just briefly we'd like to look at the various people that did praise her, that from whom she obtained kindness and favor. First of all, we have Hegai, who was the king's chamberlain. And we see that she pleased him, and she obtained kindness from him. And we are told the reason why, very specifically. In verse 15, we are told that she required nothing but what he appointed. We notice from the text here that when these young women would go into the king, they could have anything they wanted. Whatever they wanted, they could have. There was nothing denied them, that they might be pleasing to the king. And I imagine that many of the young ladies, as they prepared to go in, would check out and talk with some of the ones who had been before the king, say, what was it that he liked, you know, what colors are his favorite colors, and what are the little ornaments that would be attractive to him, and what are the things that I could do, and what are the little special things I could wear, and what are the ways in which I can please the king? And then they could ask for any of those things they wanted. And they could just tell Hegai, I want this and that and something else, and they could just make a list of all the things that they would want as they would go in before the king. But we read here that Esther did it very differently. A continuation of the very character that Hegai saw in her when she first went in to the house of the young maidens. She pleased him right from the beginning. And this quality came out again as she was to go before the king. She asked for nothing apart from what he felt that she should have. And this was a very wise thing, because after all, Hegai was the keeper of the king's women. Who would know better than he what things pleased the king? He had knowledge of what the king liked. Then he had all the experience of sending all of these other women in days gone by to the king and realizing how it went with each one. And so who would know better, who would have more experience than he with all of the previous prospects? He knew exactly what the king liked, and he knew what the king didn't like, and what had gone well before and what had not gone well before. And besides this, Hegai had been had done very well with Esther up to this point, for we read in the previous portion that when Esther went into the house of the women, that he gave her one of the choicest rooms, showing his preference for her, that he was willing and eager to do the very best for her. And so he had done well with her up to this point, had given her the best place in the entire house. And so he had proven himself to be very capable and very trustworthy. And Esther placed all of her confidence in him. And when the time came to go before the king, she said, "You tell me what to wear, and that's all I want." And he had only the highest praise for her. As I read this through, I was reminded that just recently I purchased an automobile, and I had made myself a checklist of everything I wanted and every way I was going to check this out to get the kind of car that I wanted. And it was quite an extensive list that I had to talk with the previous owner, and I was going to road test it, and I had to take it to my mechanic and make sure that he agreed it was good, and take it to the rust proofers and make sure it had no internal rust and that they would rust proof it, and I checked the price comparisons, and I had the whole list of just how to do it, and I did it. And it was a lot of work, checking the paper all the time and getting all the prices and checking out all of these things. And it was a lot of work, but I felt a little bit satisfied afterwards that I'd done a good job, got a good car. And I read this through and I said, look what Esther did. She didn't check out with all of these women, you know, what they were before and what would be the best and what the king liked. And she found a man who was trustworthy and capable, and she said, now you tell me what to wear. And I thought, you know, I did a good job when I bought that car, but next time it's going to be different. Next time, I'm going to buy my car the same way that I buy my tires. When I need tires, I know right where to go. And I just take my car in and I say, I'm going to want a trip, and I don't want any problems. Fine. I never have any problems. Same thing with my mechanic. He says, I'm going to go on a trip. Look it over. I don't want any problems. I don't have any problems. You know, the nice thing about that is when I'm reading the paper, for example, and they have these great big ads, you know, reduced, famous tires, cheap prices. You know, I don't waste a minute. Just right to the next page. I don't lose any time checking ads about tires, because I already have that problem solved. And I said, you know, that's the way I'm going to buy my car next time. I started out and I got trapped in this other way of doing it. And I found out that's not the best way. Esther has the best solution here. Find a man who is trustworthy and capable. Now, the man I buy from my tire shop, he knows more about tires than I will ever know. The man who fixes my car knows more about cars than I will ever know. And so I don't have to know all that. He knows it, and he's trustworthy. And so he does it. And this is what Esther did. And so she didn't go around checking all the details. She found a man who was trustworthy and capable, and she said, you do it. And her admiration for him gave her a reverent spirit toward him and gained his praise for her and gained his favor toward her. And I think that her testimony with Hegai was, you know, I've never had a young woman so easy to work with as she is, so easy to please, because she just said, you tell me what to wear, and that's it. And so she gained his praise because of the admiration she had for him, the reverent spirit toward his ability and trustworthiness. Then we find the next group of people were the people of the palace and the palace personnel. We find in verse 15, and Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. Now this would refer to the personnel there of the palace as she had to do with them. And we read that she obtained favor from them and from all of them. Now, as a potential queen, I'm sure that she could have come on with an air of superiority and with an air of demanding. Here were all the personnel of the palace, and she was one who was to go before the king and possibly might be the queen even. And she might be able to have that kind of a haughty disposition, you know, look at me. You aren't chosen for something like this, and you better do what I say, because you have to yield to me now because of my place as being one of the possible chosen ones of the king. She could have come on very strong. But all of the personnel of the palace were very pleased with Esther. there was something about her that pleased him, that pleased them. No attitude of superiority. Now, I don't think it was just her beauty that obtained favor before all these people. I think these people had seen enough beauty. The palace there was full of it. All of these women that had been brought in from all parts of the kingdom. And so I don't believe that it was her beauty, although she undoubtedly was a very beautiful woman. I think the thing that really attracts people, more than beauty of our physical being, more than physical beauty, is beauty of character. And we've seen this many times, that even beauty that is physical, if there is a lack of proper attitudes, we can be repelled even more so. And we think, well, all of that physical beauty and yet such bad attitudes. And so we are repelled by that. And attitudes are so important. And we find Esther's attitudes, for example, were referred to in verses 10 and 20. We find in verse 10 that she obeyed Mordecai in what he had charged her. We find in verse 20 the same thing. She had not shown her people as Mordecai had charged her, for Esther did the commandment of Mordecai like as when she was brought up with him. And so we find here an obedient spirit, a servant spirit, a desire to please in this way. And she obeyed Mordecai. And I believe that the same servant spirit was very evident in the life of Esther, her desire to serve people rather than to be served. She served Mordecai just as when she was brought up with him, even though now she was older. I think one of the dangers of physical beauty is the temptation to want to get people to serve us. There seems to be the feeling when there is physical beauty that people ought to take notice of us, people ought to respect our wishes, people ought to give deference to us because of our physical beauty. Many times we see that. There are wrong attitudes in those who have physical beauty. Their desire to get others to serve them. One thing about Jesus that we read in Scripture is that he came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom. And so his purpose was to minister. And also about Jesus we read in Isaiah, it says there was no beauty in him that we should desire him. And as Jesus sought to minister to people, he did not need physical beauty. Physical beauty can be used to get people to minister to us. But if we have as our goal the desire to minister to other people, we don't need beauty. For example, I don't care how handsome my mechanic is. All I care is if he fixes the car, as he serves me in that capacity. Whereas if we desire people to serve us, then we have to have something that is attractive to them. And so Esther had physical beauty, but she did not have the attitude that everyone ought to serve her. And so as a result, we find here that all of those of the palace also were impressed with her, and she obtained favor from them. There was not a proud and demanding spirit. She had so much to be proud of because of her beauty and because of the opportunity that she had, and yet she was humble and showed a servant spirit to them. And then the third person that she found grace and favor with was the king. And in verse 17, we read that the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins. And as I read that, I asked myself the question, what was it that the king saw? Now, did the king see physical beauty? He undoubtedly did. But I don't know that that is what made him love Esther above all of the other virgins. Because he had seen a lot of physical beauty. And I don't know that at that stage of the game there was that much difference. I wonder if the king didn't see something else that impressed him. I think the king probably saw something that Peter mentions in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4. Peter says regarding the women, he says, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and a wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Peter says the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit is in the sight of God of great price. And this is the ornament that Esther wore as she went in to see King Ahasuerus. This is the kind of jewelry that you cannot buy in any store. And God says that in his sight it is of great price. And I think this is what King Ahasuerus saw. He saw an ornament that he had not seen in the other women that had come to him, of great price. And this is the same ornament that is of great price in the sight of a husband. As a woman desires to be attractive to her husband, I think although there are certainly physical things that need to be done, I think the ornament that is the most attractive to a husband is the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit. And I think Peter himself emphasizes this in the fact that he says, if a woman has a husband who is not saved, he's not a believer, and she wants to do something that will impress him to the point where he will even see the power of God in the gospel, what she needs to do is wear this ornament, the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit. And God says that this is the thing that will speak to his heart without her ever even saying a word to him about the gospel. This will speak to him, the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit. And I think as Esther walked in, and as the king had opportunity to get to know her, he saw this ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, and he realized immediately, here's a woman that I will not have the same problem with that I had with Vashti. Vashti had an independent spirit. And the king recognized immediately, here is a woman that does not have an independent spirit. She has a meek and a quiet spirit. And as a result, we read that he placed the crown upon her, and he made a special feast to her. Now, he did several things at this time. Not only was there a special feast for Esther, it was called Esther's Feast, but at the same time, he made a release to the provinces. We're not sure what this was. Some commentators feel that he gave a reduction in taxes, and others feel that he proclaimed a special holiday. I think it's more likely that he reduced the taxes. I think that makes people happier than anything else. And he also gave gifts according to the state of the king, and gifts of great value that others might be especially joyous at this time in which he was joyous. And it's thrilling how God causes even a proud and selfish, ungodly king to honor Esther because her spirit was pleasing to him. And I believe that this is a principle that we will find even in our day, that God will cause even ungodly men to honor us when our spirit is right before God. And God shows us how pleased he is when our attitudes are right by causing men to honor us. I think there's nothing that makes a husband want to honor his wife more than when he sees in her a meek and a quiet spirit. Truly, it is an adornment of great price. And so Paul says, do good, and thou shalt have praise of the authority. What was it then that gained praise for Esther of all of the authorities that God placed over her? It wasn't her physical beauty. They saw in her that which they did not see in the other women. They saw in her a reverent spirit, a servant's spirit, a meek spirit, a quiet spirit. And this beauty of spirit that attracted all of these people to her and gave her favor with those whom God had placed over her. And this is the same spirit that God says is pleasing to him, is of great price in the sight of God. And in fact, this is the very thing that we face as we face the matter of salvation, the command of Scripture to repent and believe the gospel. This command is directed to our spirit, and are we willing to humble our spirit before God that we might obey the command that he's given us to repent and to receive the gospel. And as Christians, our growth as Christians is related to this. We find in the Beatitudes, it begins with, blessed are the poor in spirit. The very first quality that Jesus said was necessary for his disciples to have. The poor in spirit. The attitude of mourning for sin. The attitude of meekness. The attitudes that we need to develop that are pleasing to God and that cause men then to honor us as they see these attitudes. So we bow in prayer. Father, tonight we recognize how easy it is for us to follow the attitudes of the world, attitudes of pride, attitudes of self-sufficiency, attitudes of superiority. Father, we thank you that you have told us the ways in which you want us as Christians to respond, that you want us to have attitudes of meekness and humility, and that these are in your sight of great price, very important, extremely valuable. And so we pray that we might not despise these very important things that you consider to be of such great price, and that will be the means of the authorities that are over us praising us, even ungodly authorities, because they see that which is of great price and that which they do not see in other places. And so we pray that you would, by your Spirit, continue to build these things into our lives, that we might have the praise of those who are over us in authority. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm sure these very attitudes not only brought praise to Esther, but brought peace to her own heart, because as her heart was yielded to God in these matters, there was a peace that he was going to fulfill his purposes in her life. So we'd like to sing number 374, Wonderful Peace, 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 Wonderful Peace, Coming Down from the Father Above.